You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Mark Anderson. Mark, how are we doing today?
Fine. It's Friday, June 10th, day two of Bilderberg, and I have some updates to put on top of the last podcast we had and the article that's posted now at AmericanFreePress.net.
Excellent. You got some big news on one of the people, one of the attendees, who just happens to be a U.S. attendee. I'm not going to give away who it is right now. You can. And, of course, the presence of this person there would possibly be illegal against the law. And also, you felt that if this person did go, and we didn't know yesterday, you didn't know yesterday, that it would mean something big. Why don't you go ahead and let the listeners know about this?
Well, of course, it's Senator Lindsey Graham, the war hawk neoconservative. And what was true in the last podcast, where he was still in the Senate, still voting on the floor, held true until just about an hour ago, I understand, give or take a little bit. A reliable source in the Senate periodical Press Gallery told me that he was flying out this afternoon. It's well known on Capitol Hill, at least in the press management circles, that he is going on a foreign junket. At first, it appeared that he was still in Washington Wednesday, still in Washington yesterday. He voted on the floor this morning. It was looking like he was on the Bilderberg list, but not going to take off. But he did, in fact, take off. And at any rate, the Kansas City Star broke the press silence that normally afforded to the U.S. media and posted, I must say, a rather good article about Senator Graham going to this Bilderberg exclusive meeting of highfalutin business people and royalty and high techies. And of course, they don't add that there's a lot of bought off reporters there that attend and participate but don't report. So we see Senator Graham bringing about a break in the usual press silence in America. And he did that unwittingly, of course. And I also found it curious that a Kansas City paper would take such an interest. My initial look at the South Carolina newspaper shows not a word about their illustrious senator going to Bilderberg. And I'm going to be looking at that all day, along with checking some of the Capitol Hill papers. So Senator Graham finally did get around to going, and that's the latest news in terms of American participation of some significance here.
Right. And I did a quick search online of the Bilderberg group, and surprisingly, there are several outlets that are mentioning Bilderberg. As I said yesterday, I popped that article from UK's Daily Mail around. They have another piece today about Bilderberg. Believe it or not, Time magazine has something about Bilderberg. And the British papers do. And Al Jazeera, how powerful is the Bilderberg group? That's in today's paper. Time magazine, their headline says, what to know about the Bilderberg group's secret annual meeting. Little is known about the secretive group, but conspiracy theorists have plenty of ideas. Of course, that would be us, Daily Mail, global gathering rumored to decide everything from EU immigration policy to the next president of the U.S. World's elite arrived for Bilderberg, the annual meeting you are not allowed to know about. And some other papers online, the local, which is a German paper, secret meet of world elite drums up dread in Dresden. London's Telegraph, what is the secret Bilderberg group? And the Independent, Bilderberg group meeting, what actually happens at the world's most secretive gathering of global elites and who is attending. So just the online coverage is kind of heartening, wouldn't you say?
It is. When you look at the trends over the last 6 or 7 years, including when I worked with Jim Tucker between 2010 and 2012, and the normal trend had been, of course, that the European media would do much what you're seeing here, but the U.S. media, such as Time and Kansas City Star, would be dead silent. So the heartening part, of course, besides the overall quantity of coverage, is that there's more American entities in there, that being Time, the Kansas City Star, and others. Obviously, between the two of us, Dave, we'll be looking at this. I'll be looking especially hard, as I mentioned, at the Capitol Hill papers, because what I'd like to see happen is the Kenneth Clark treatment on Lindsey Graham. Kenneth Clark being a member of the British Parliament, he used to be on the Bilderberg Steering Committee right after 2013 in Watford, UK, when he attended. Now the late MP Michael Meacher of the Labour Party called him out for a famous 20-minute dress down about attending Bilderberg, which is online and is quite the popular video. And Meacher calls out Bilderberg, calls out Kenneth Clark in the British legislature. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see Lindsey Graham called out in the U.S. legislature? What were you doing there? What did you discuss? What's going on? You know, why are you going on this foreign junket? You're the only guy out of 535 people, 100 senators and 435 reps. Why you? Why no one else? What's so special about you? And I'd like to see, again, that Kenneth Clark treatment on Graham. He deserves it. He's been a warmonger. He's fighting for even more U.S. defense spending. He just got done being quoted as saying that it's the most important battle of his life to get more money for the Pentagon. He's not only thought to be going over to Bilderberg, as I think I alluded to on the previous podcast, to fight against Donald Trump's nomination, but I suspect with these defense contractors and defense technology people that normally attend Bilderberg, he's out fishing for a little support for his increased defense spending and some deal making. That's what it appears to be.
Yeah. Well, some legislation signed into law by President, not Barack Obama, John Adams on January 30th, 1799. The Logan Act. Why don't you tell listeners about that and how that might apply to our warmongering and many people say homosexual friend, Lindsey Graham.
Whoa, the big H word. What do you know? At any rate, the Logan Act is decidedly not the absolutely clearest law ever written. Some people discredit it sheerly for its age, kind of like age discrimination. It basically says that a U.S. person cannot be a deal maker or a diplomat without the U.S. government's permission. So if a person, now if you're a senator or a congressman, you're still a citizen. Your job doesn't define your whole being. But if a senator or congressman or the head of a corporation goes and makes deals with foreign figures, foreign lawmakers, foreign government officials, and those deals don't have the blessing or imprimatur of the U.S. government, then essentially you're usurping the U.S. government's role to negotiate with foreign government officials, and that is considered a felony. So it wouldn't be hard to break that by going over there and let's say Lindsey Graham talks defense policy with someone who has decision-making power in a foreign government. And suppose they make some kind of deal to make the arms supplies that Lindsey Graham is seeking in this increased defense spending that he wants. And he was on record just today, Friday, June 10th, in a big press announcement, and it's in the Capitol Hill papers. I want more for the Pentagon. I want more, more, more. He's going crazy on this, right on the eve of his attendance at Bilderberg. So all it would take really is for him to reach something of a deal that has some validity, some chance of being an actual deal and not just small talk. And he'd be stepping over the line or very close to it. And the thing is that, as we mentioned on the previous podcast, because Bilderberg is so hush-hush, they say no records are kept, no resolutions are raised nor voted on, then it's always that same catch-22. Well, if there's no record kept, then we don't know either way what was said or done. You can't prove they did something wrong. You can't prove they didn't do something wrong. And a lot of things would take place off to the sides anyway, over a drink, over a meal, out on the golf course, whatever the case might be. Many deals are struck outside official confines, as we all know. So really, it's good that the press is doing what it's doing in terms of general coverage. But when an elected member of the U.S. government goes over there like that, he's not a former senator, there should be a lot for him to have to answer for. And the Kansas City Star, so far from my perspective, as you know, there's so many papers we could check. But the Kansas City paper, the only one, for whatever reason, that has specifically addressed Graham going to Bilderberg and not just talking about Bilderberg in more general terms. So we'll see.
And you had mentioned yesterday about possibly some protests taking place, big, big protests. Anything on that?
Well, a colleague of mine or contact of mine in Germany is going to go check it out tomorrow, Saturday, June 11th, the day before the last day. It's supposed to officially end Sunday, and look at it. Right now, I'm still seeing that protesters come in small packs, as well as onlookers, observers, independent media. One thing is a lot of your mainstream media reporting on Bilderberg, not all, but a lot of them don't actually go there. They just write about it from their cubicles. The ones that are physically closer are probably poking their head in there for a day or something. The vast majority of reporters that go at all are alternative reporters from the get-go. And then these smaller packs or huddles, you might say, of protesters or demonstrators, most of them very peaceful protesters. They have a lot of spirit and passion, but they're not violent. A reliable source says they have water cannons all ready to go. Evidently, they're expecting something probably by tomorrow.
And of course, today is Friday. Tomorrow is the last day they all head out on Sunday. Was it last year that they headed out a bit early?
They've been heading out a bit early for several years, according to Tucker. He said they used to have a traditional Monday morning breakfast, and they got rid of that. And so they started leaving on Sundays. It started going like 6 or 7 p.m., then 4 p.m., then the next year, 1 p.m., then the next year, they were out of there by noon. It's been like that. That, of course, is what also has given rise to the theory, I'll stress the word theory, that they might have subcommittee meetings in other areas because it seems like they have a lot to tackle and not much time to do it with. As we noted on the last podcast, their list is shorter this year, 10 items rather than, say, 15. But nevertheless, it's a lot to do in such a short time, especially when they all don't show up at the same times. You know, Senator Graham arriving a day or two later and all that.
Yeah, it's not easy to determine the outcome of the entire world over a weekend in June. I know in the past, when the England Bilderberg meeting happened several years ago, what was that, in 2012?
2013.
That was kind of, it seemed like, the peak of alternative media involvement. I think that was the year that the Washington Post wrote something about Bilderberg, right? And they had been involved in Bilderberg in the meetings for all these years. What about this guy who carries around the bullhorn, this Jones actor? Is he there this year?
I don't know if Alex Jones is there in person. His correspondents are there. Usually that's Paul Joseph Watson. And there's another gentleman there whose name doesn't come right to me that's doing on-camera short reports, observational kind of reports. The Washington Post, for the record, breaking its silence was in 2012 when they met in Virginia. That was Tucker's last year of covering it. That's just a quick footnote.
Excellent.
But I don't know if Alex himself is there. Charlie Skelton of The Guardian is, and Luke Radowski of We Are Change, Dan Dix of Press for Truth. They do good work. They definitely test the boundaries of what Bilderberg will tolerate in terms of physical proximity. One thing I'll mention to sort of wrap up for today is that I recently learned, just since the last podcast, that Michael Bloomberg has a Global Cities philanthropy outfit that's tied into this Global Cities mantra that's being discussed at Bilderberg in some way, shape, or form because of the attendance of an Italian delegate, Carlos Ratti, and he's from the MIT City Lab, the Global Agenda City Management Department of the World Economic Forum. And that ties, as I mentioned on the last podcast, about the Global Cities Forum that the Financial Times, which is big Bilderberg connected media, they held that in conjunction with the Chicago Global Affairs Council. And the Global Cities thing is now taking on this dimension of involving Michael Bloomberg.
Don't like that guy.
Yeah, the pro-Zionist.
Anti-gun.
Anti-gun former mayor of New York.
Yeah.
It's valuable information because it shows a pretty fresh view for Bilderberg to be looking at this globalization of cities thing coming out of the belly of the Financial Times and the Chicago Group and the World Economic Forum. And now plugged in through this Italian delegate into Bilderberg. And so that's one of the wires in their conduit where they'll, as I mentioned in the last podcast, globalize cities according to sort of nebulous standards and infrastructure and a bunch of different things, how they measure up to diversity, how they measure up to integration, how well they battle man-made global warming, even though that's largely a myth. And the city will have to pass this kind of litmus test in order to become this global city. If they don't, they probably get cut off on IMF funding or some sort of financial penalty, for all we know. And this is, of course, the new grid, the new map of how they'll continue constructing this world society of their making and their choosing.
It's not good. This guy's not good. Not good for individual personal freedom. And people need to pay attention to this stuff. I'm glad you're on this, Mark, because this is very important. And anytime Bloomberg is involved, you can bet that things are not going to be good for your average person.
Just for the record, it's called Global Cities Incorporated, a program of Bloomberg Philanthropies. That's the exact name.
Yeah, he should just go away. Don't worry about us. We don't want your philanthropy. Just go away, please. You know, go to Israel and just stay there and maybe something good will happen. All right, my friend. Well, thank you for the update. If something comes up, please let us know and we'll do another interview and get that up because you've been covering Bilderberg for many years now. And I don't think there are too many other people out there who have really studied all the angles of these globalist groups. And like you said yesterday, there's about 60 of them, right?
Yeah, the World Affairs Council of America is an umbrella group that has around 60, 61 World Affairs Councils in regions and cities all around the United States, numbering some 60, from Dallas and Fort Worth to San Francisco to Grand Rapids, Michigan to New York City to Chicago, Chicago being one of the more active groups. So it's not like there's just one group that hides in the shadows. They have an entire grid out there greased with this money, and partially because they control the money, and their control of the money is what gives them leverage. If you can corner the credit and money creation of the people, that's what gives you leverage. And if you take that leverage away from them, they die on the vine.
One day, hopefully. Well, thank you, Mark. Keep us posted, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Dave.